Hello and welcome to Connectivity. I am your host, Matt West, and joining me today are Adam Abu Nasser.
Oh, sorry, I was playing Magikarp.
Oh my gosh.
Yes!
And also joining me is Carmine Red.
Save it for the show!
Today we're going to get into a little bit about ARMS, just our feelings after playing the Global Test Punch. I think some of us have stronger feelings than others. And after we get through that, we are going to play a game where we build our own Nintendo E3 Spotlight event. So first, let's talk about ARMS. Carmine, did you play the Test Punch?
Yeah, I did. It's interesting because I played the Test Punch, but then before that, I had played, before the Nintendo Direct, I got to play a press event, and they had all the characters available there, so, but they did not have this party mode, which is pretty awesome, because as soon as I got in there, I'm like, oh my god, this is the lobby that everyone's talking about. It's pretty neat. And then that verse headlock mode showed up, so basically my entire goal of the Test Punch was get thrown into a three-person verse headlock fight and try to win. So every time I'm like, come on, headlock. Yeah.
It's fun. That was something that was in the second Test Punch that wasn't in the first one. So I wasn't expecting that at all. That was the first thing that it threw me into in the second Test Punch. So I was trying out Twintel, who I hadn't played before because she also wasn't in the first Test Punch. And it throws us against this boss monster with six arms. Yeah, and we ended up beating it. It was like level 4, I think. Because there were different levels. There was, I don't know if it let you play less than level 4. I
fought a level 3 once.
Okay, I fought a level 5, and it destroyed us.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I was talking with some of our patron backers on Discord, and someone mentioned that they had heard that if anything above level 4 takes serious coordination to beat.
Yeah, which you don't really have with random people on the internet. Yeah. So, but I only fought the level 5 once. Adam, did you play the Test Punch?
So, what I really like about Magikarp Jump is...
Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding, I'm sorry. Okay. I played the first Test Punch, the very, very first one. And I don't know if it is my terrible modem router combo from 4 years ago that my roommate has, or if it was my left Joy-Con, which doesn't work, or if it was the fact that ARMS is the worst game ever made, but I just couldn't get it. I didn't get it.
That's fair.
I don't like competition. I don't like losing. I suck at video games. And I just feel like I really, really lost a lot. I shouldn't say that I feel that way because I lost every match and I recorded it. Someone on the site was like, hey, if anyone wants to record footage and send it, like, just so we have it. So I played as every character just so we would have footage, and I lost every match. My roommate played a couple, and he won one volleyball, I think. And that was it. Like, we both sucked. We didn't even play the full hour. We played, like, 45 minutes. And then I just went back to the Poo Poo Tetris demo.
I
really wanted to love ARMS. I like the one song that they play in all the trailers.
It's good. I like that song.
I like the story mode. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I really wanted to like it, but it doesn't sound like there's much of a single-player mode, really. Like, it's a multiplayer game.
Well, it's a fighting game, right? And you said you're not competitive. I mean, I remember when Street Fighter 2 came out, like, everyone played it. But as soon as it started getting serious, like, I stopped playing it. As soon as people start getting good in fighting games, it's difficult to play, and Smash isn't like that because it's a different kind of fighting game. I think ARMS might be a little more competitive, and you might start feeling that sooner. Party mode alleviated that a bit. That's why I was mostly into the verse headlock stuff, because I'm a PvE player mostly. I'm like, I wanna cooperate with people and fight against the computer and, like, team up. But yeah, I think also this demo is sort of strange because it's sort of like giving you a taste, but it's also certain characters just don't click for me. So you went through all of them, which is impressive, but like I only had like time in an hour to
Carmine,
try like,
I can three. Show you the
and I quickly
fights,
gave up on some
impressive.
Of them. But I mean, if you're jumping around the characters with this demo, they've got such different arm setups and such different like strategic setups that I'm like, I don't. You, if you're jumping around, you're not
Dude,
giving yourself
could,
time to like learn them.
Figure out how to jump. It's just grab throw, everyone attacking me.
Adam, did you only play with the motion controls, or did you
I didn't
try
know
the
that
stationary
controls were an option in the demo until I'd already quit and vowed to never play that game again.
I personally prefer the stationary controls.
I've never tried them, actually.
The motion controls are fine. They work. They work well. But the stationary controls, I feel like it's much easier to move.
Which stationary controller are you talking about? The Pro Controller?
No, I don't have a Pro Controller. I played with the grip, and then I also played with the gamepad itself.
See, I don't think that the motion controls work well because my left Joy-Con doesn't work, and I need to send it in. But every time I remember that I need to send it in, I'm like, oh, I don't want to send it in right now because I'm playing something. And then when I'm not playing anything, like I forget about it. And I played through Zelda on a Pro Controller, so like I didn't notice it really, but. The motion controls did not work.
Hmm. I think arms could be well. A technical difficulty aside, I think it is very legitimately for a lot of people to like say arms is this great new IP, but I don't enjoy it because I've been seeing some people saying that, and I've been seeing a lot of people saying this is amazing. My kids are playing it, but I think there's also a lot of people realizing, hey, this is not a game for everyone.
Right. I mean,
I'm with you, Adam. Like, I'm not when this stuff gets competitive, it will not. I will probably never play ranked match. Maybe I will for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I want to revisit what you said about Street
I think
Fighter 2.
I'm not.
Because when I was a kid, my cousin had Street Fighter 2, and my brother, who's 2 years older than me, was allowed to play Street Fighter 2 at my cousin's house, but I wasn't. I could watch, but I couldn't play it, and I feel like.
You could watch, but you couldn't play it?
To this day, it's still, like, shaped who I am as a person. Like, I feel like, for whatever reason, like, I shouldn't compete or, you know, I never got into fighting games or anything competitive, like, not even sports. And I feel like it all goes back to that for whatever reason, I wasn't allowed to play this fighting game, but... My brother was. I know. I'm
so
fucked
weird.
Up now.
I mean,
yeah.
I should probably get Street Fighter 2.
Before we get too off track and start talking about Street Fighter instead of ARMS, I like ARMS. I think it's a very different type of fighting game. I don't know, like, a lot of people are comparing it to Splatoon, like saying, and Mario Kart saying it's doing for fighting games what Splatoon did for shooters and what Mario Kart did for racing games. I don't know if it's quite that level.
Didn't Smash do that?
Yeah, Smash?
Yeah.
Smash
I can't agree with that statement. Smash did that. ARMS is not that.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I would agree with that as well. I think it's a different type of fighting game, though, which is why I respect it. I had a lot of fun in the Test Punch. I'm probably going to get the game.
Yeah.
I don't know how I will feel about it once things get too competitive, like once that metagame reaches its peak. But I think, you know, for the first, at least until Splatoon 2, it'll give me something to play on my Switch.
I keep having this fear that with ARMS, like, there won't be, like, this vast pool of people who are at, like, the level of, like, comfortable noobs who are playing for fun. I feel like it'll get super competitive super fast, especially because, like, it's such a complicated game. I don't even charge up my punches. I can barely remember to press the right buttons for jumping and dashing. So, unlike Smash Brothers, which I think is, like, super easy to get into, I think there'll be a much faster... The people will blast through that learning curve and it'll get competitive faster. So I'm gonna buy it, but I'm also... I don't think I'll be able to get into it. I don't think it'll be a game for forever. But, you know, it's definitely... I'm definitely thinking it's going to be fun. while I am able to keep up with it. I think this is a weird demo because all the arms is locked to the character. You've got your default selections.
Right.
And in the real game, you'll be able to unlock others and then really swap them up. Give Master Mummy's arms to Helix, which I really want to do, but I can't do. So it's like half the game is missing.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is also missing from this demo, which is going to be interesting if people's opinions change.
Sure, and there's the DLC and stuff too. New characters, new modes, new arenas, or whatever they're adding. So
I do have one last thing I want to say about ARMS that makes me very angry. The first time that we saw the boss character in the trailer, it was like all mysterious. And I'm very disappointed to find out that his name is something stupid like Headface or whatever. Because, no, it's Headface.
Headlock.
Because, no, I think, you know what? I think that may have a point because I was in a fight with that guy and he like stretched up like Helix does. And I'm like, oh my god, is this guy like a face hugger? Like he'll steal a character and he gets that character's
body. When I fought him, he had Mechanica's body.
But I named him.
So.
Oh, you don't like the face.
No, I don't like the name. I named him Arm Bison, which is a way better name. And they came up with a head face?
No, oh my god.
Come on. It's head face. No,
it's not head face. It's headlock.
Face.
All right, that's enough talk about ARMS. Adam, really quick, in 1 minute or less, give me your pitch on
Magikarp. Oh, you're not playing it?
You're not playing Magikarp Jump.
That's it. That's
no, guys, pitch. I don't play mobile games. What's Magikarp Jump?
So you feed a Magikarp. And all the Pokemon battles are seeing who can jump the highest. And there's leagues. And I beat the game in about a week without spending a single penny. There are a ton of little cute events. The writing is great. There are a bunch of different colored Magikarp with different patterns. Like, you can get, like, Calico ones. I don't want to spoil anything, but I might have an Argyle Magikarp. And you can get different colors Ooh. With different patterns and all sorts of stuff. Once your Magikarp reaches its max level, it retires, which is really stupid and, like, kind of funny.
Wait, what?
No, it's really cool. It's really bittersweet.
Yeah.
You can't evolve into Gyarados?
No.
It's about Magikarp jumping. How would a Gyarados jump against a Magikarp? Wouldn't that be cheating? You're trying to cheat at Magikarp jumping.
That's cheating! Oh my gosh, okay.
That's how Magikarp retire early.
That's it. There's a Facebook friend leaderboard, so you can see how you compare to your other friends. I destroyed Carmine, like, super hardcore. Like, he should be embarrassed.
Dude! I'm playing like five mobile games right now. Okay, I don't have.
Well, I'm pretty sure my highest jump is like five times higher than your jump. So
I'm still playing it. I'll catch up to you. It's nice. Somebody read a thing on Twitter comparing it to like a Tamagotchi game. It sort of is, but without the pooping and the
your Magikarp doesn't poop.
So it's like those are the best parts. It's like a no-stress Tamagotchi where you're just training it up and giving it food and training when like it recharges.
Oh, and they can die.
Those are my favorite parts of Tamagotchi.
You can die. If you make the wrong choice, that Magikarp will, like, quote-unquote, retire
early. Yeah,
which
means it dies brutally. Like, it gets eaten or blown up.
Dude, that happened to me and I am scarred for life. I chose the wrong thing. And, like, oh my god. I did not know this game would do that. It is brutal. Oh. For like
this sounds way more intense than what I expected.
This game is about avoiding any and all risk.
Well, sometimes you need that risk because you get an achievement for having a certain number of Magikarp retire early.
Screw that!
Dude, I gotta get those diamonds.
I am never getting
that
achievement. It happened once.
They're expensive, man.
Never again.
Okay.
Never again.
All right. No, this was supposed to last 1 minute.
Oh,
you guys have way too
intense
emotions.
I'm sorry. I thought you said one episode
of the
podcast.
We'll save that for another time.
Not 1 minute.
No, that is not what I said.
I'm sorry.
You know that's not what I said. Okay. So what I want to move on to now.
Magic.
E3.
Is it really?
Is a week away. Well, EA's press conference thing starts on Saturday, so technically it's less than a week away from when we are recording this, as it's currently Sunday. So yeah, E3 is coming up very quickly. So originally we were going to do a kind of a send-off episode for games that we think you should play on your 3DS before you kind of let it ride off into the sunset at the end of this year. But because I remembered that E3 is coming up, I decided to do something else. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a game where we build our own E3 spotlight event for Nintendo. So do a little bit of role-playing here. President of Nintendo, Kimishima-san, has come up to connectivity at Nintendo World Report and has said, hey, we really want to make an E3 for the fans, by the fans. You guys are big fans. We think you have what it takes to build a proper E3 event. So would you please, they've given us a list of games that they're doing, which some of them we're going to come up with, some of them are ones that we already know about. And just, they're gonna let us design this thing. What I did, to research for this is I went back and I watched E3's 2014 and 2015 to kind of see how Nintendo builds their digital events. I didn't watch 2016 because that one was an anomaly because all they did was show Zelda.
And it was glorious.
Yeah, it was great, but, it wasn't quite what I was looking for as far as, this exercise we're gonna do. So we're gonna cycle through each one of us. We're gonna take turns, starting with Adam, to kind of build this thing. I do have one rule for it, though, and that rule is that once an idea has been thrown out there, it can no longer be taken back. We have to roll with it. So, if Adam says something that Carmine or I don't agree with, we cannot override him. That's his segment of the, spotlight event. We cannot take it away from him. So whatever he says goes. We can build on it. we can build on what he says. We can build on what Carmine says. We can build on what I say, regardless of if we disagree with it or not. But we can't make them take it back. Once it's said, it's done. Do we understand that rule?
Fair.
Okay, good.
So basically, once something crazy gets in there, it's in.
Yes.
And your crazy will be right up next to my crazy. Cool.
Yeah. Or serious, or insane, or way out of nowhere. Whatever it is, once it's said, it can't be taken back. So, we are going to start with Adam, and Adam, what I've asked Adam to come up with is the aesthetic for this Nintendo Direct, because in 2014, Nintendo opened their, E3 digital event with, like a animation from Robot Chicken. And in 2015, they did the Muppet thing. So, Adam, you are in charge of coming up with what aesthetic we're going to launch this thing with. What's going to happen at the beginning of this digital event? Or spotlight, I'm sorry. That's the term they're using this year.
Nintendo is unpredictable, but if they're known for anything, they're known for overreacting. A good example of this is when the whole world got really angry when Wind Waker came out, which was like a really good game. So Nintendo overreacted and made Twilight Princess, which was not. Now the Wii U, 12 million of us love our Wii U's, but the rest of the world is, you know, they don't have Wii U's, so they don't know. But Nintendo decided to overreact and decide that, for whatever reason, Waru Waru Plaza was the reason that the Wii U failed. So, this Nintendo presentation opens...
Okay. Hang on, wait. What is Waru Waru Plaza?
Oh, you don't use that, like, every day? Okay, so when you turn on your
Wii U,
for some reason, 100 fucking douchebags from the internet run up to your TV and start telling you about their shitty Art Academy drawings. And their Miiverse posts and what games they're playing, and if it's your birthday, they run in with their arms straight in the air, and it's terrifying. So that's Waru Waru Plaza, which was I don't understand why Waru Waru Plaza never got themes, because it would have been so easy to just have those Miis milling around, like, the Mushroom Kingdom or an Animal Crossing town and charge us, like, $2.
And then later let us buy them with my Nintendo Gold Points, right?
So, oh my god!
I could finally have something anyways, to spend it on. Yes.
All right. This is a happy podcast. We're not talking about my Nintendo.
I'm happy.
So anyways, something to spend it on. Bring my points together, not my Nintendo points. Nintendo has done a gritty reboot of the Waru Waru Plaza, and that is the style in which this presentation is presented. So we have.
What do you mean, gritty reboot?
No, like
PlayStation Home,
like Wind Waker to Twilight Princess kind of gritty reboot. Overreaction. So the Miis have been redesigned, but only for this presentation, because they don't go over well. And everything's kind of dark and modern and like cool, but not actually cool. Like shitty corporate cool, like they hired some 40-year-olds to be like, tell us what the young people like. And so when you turn on your Wii U, you have all the games there in a circle, and that's what that's how this is. Most of the games are question marks. Some of them we know about, so they do have their icons filled in there. The redesigned edgy Miis of our favorite Nintendo execs are all standing there. And they're talking in Mii voices, but something's different because they're gritty new Mii voices. They're not like, rah-rah-rah-rah. They're like,
I'm having trouble.
Rah-rah-rah-rah. Like, rah-rah-rah-rah-rah. Like, you know, the gritty version.
Wait, so we can't understand
first,
what they're saying.
But once we zoom in, then.
We tap on them. It's interactive. Wait. I like it.
So this is an interactive press conference, or not press conference,
kind
but
of.
Digital
I mean,
event.
We don't actually do that, but someone does, well, as if like, it's like a children's television show, and Dora is clicking on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like a Mario hand comes and clicks on them and zooms in, and they're like, what are we going to do for E3? Let's do something really stupid. And they do this. So that's it.
Do what? Just a dark and gritty Wii U,
overreaction to the Wii U's home screen.
I can see that.
All right, so I love that. Like, so we're role playing here. Like, Kimishima has come up and been like, "Hey, will you guys do this?" And the pitch meeting is you saying, "Yeah, let's make Waru Waru Plaza dark and gritty and cool, but not really cool." Like,
no, I feel
like we're the ones who think
this is cool because we're role playing as out of touch old people.
But the pitch is, hey, you know, Waru Waru Plaza was great, but it just lacked this one thing, and that one thing was
edgy
Miis. You know, we can give that
so
edge, and we can try it out here. And if it works, we can use it in Nintendo Direct. And if that works, we can put it into the Switch.
And it's
we're really like testing it out.
It's totally not gonna work too. Okay. So the aesthetic is out of the way.
I'm sorry, I did have a better
one,
my turn. But
that's a good rationale. I like your rationale because it makes sense. Sometimes we compensate and completely the other direction, and it's so out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a company that reacted to Club Nintendo surveys of Super Paper Mario saying the story wasn't good by completely removing all story and fun
from every Nintendo game from there on.
Are
there any stories in Nintendo games?
Okay.
What's the story in Galaxy?
We're not going to get into this. We're not gonna get.
Galaxy was not before Super Paper Mario.
It was before.
Had the surveys. They pulled the story out of every Nintendo game right then and there.
Okay, guys.
Sorry, I didn't.
Going back to like Wii games here.
I want to apologize to the listeners. It was never my intention to talk about Sticker Star on this podcast. Okay, so it's my turn. I think because in 2014. They opened up with Smash, which was their biggest game that year. In 2015, they opened up with Star Fox, which unfortunately was their biggest game that year. So I think that they're going to open up with their biggest game this year, which is obviously
Super Mario
Odyssey.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stick of Star 2.
We're going to get a trailer of... No. So we're going to get Mario doing lots of triple jumps, probably being fired out of cannons and stuff. We're going to see what's up with his hat. What's so special about this hat? What does this hat have to do with anything? If there is some sort of hub world, I think we'll see it in this trailer. I think we'll see him battle some bosses. But really, I think they're going to focus on the relationship between Mario and this new hat. How do they meet? What does this new hat allow him to do that he wasn't allowed to do in previous Super Mario games? So yeah, I think they open with Super Mario Odyssey.
I think the hat is a 7-month-old oven roasted chicken.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. The total in joke right now.
Now that you've brought that up, you have to tell the story. You can't not tell the story.
I can't. I don't know how to tell the story.
Tell the story. It'll give me more time to think of what I'm going to say.
A local artist hung out with an oven roasted chicken for 7 months. And then I went to the funeral that she held in the park.
There you go. That's all you needed to know. Any other opinions on Mario Odyssey? Yeah, that's a really safe prediction, I think, but I just feel like, based on what they've done before in past E3s, that Mario Odyssey is what they're going to open with. That's going to be their big focus.
Do you think they'd come back to it later? Would it be like, they'd open with this, they'd do other stuff, and then they'd come back to Mario Galaxy again?
They could. Like, in 2014, when they opened with Smash, they opened by having Reggie and Iwata, like, fight each other in live action. And then that's also how they introduced Amiibo as well. Because, like, Reggie beats up Iwata, Iwata scans the Mario Amiibo, and then Iwata's Mario Amiibo beats up Reggie's Mii. And then they came back to it at the end. Reggie was like, and one more thing. And then that's when they, like, showed off some new characters that were going to be playable.
Oh, that's when they announced Link.
No, that's not when they announced Link. I think it's when they announced Palutena. And maybe Dark Pit. So yeah, they could come back to it, like at the end or something. Show like some kind of montage or like maybe show off a new level or something that wasn't in the previous trailer. Definitely possible.
They're gonna show off the full name of the game.
They already have.
Which is Super Mario Odyssey Deluxe.
They have to give us Odyssey first. And then on the Switch's successor.
No, I think every game is going to be Deluxe.
ARMS isn't Deluxe.
It's just... not yet. Oh, you haven't seen the final name yet. But it's just so edgy, yeah. You know?
That's
Deluxe. It's got
that
X in it. What's edgier than
X? The theme of
X?
Our showcase is edgy. The showcase is edgy. So, hang on,
it's Deluxe.
We can make
Edge.
Mario edgy.
I think they already
how about have. That swears?
the hat has a mouth now? It's
like,
just has eyes.
Like, every time you, like, throw it and then jump on it, it, like, curses when Mario jumps
on
it.
That's sort of awesome. That sounds sort of like Conker's Bad Fur Day, you know? That is a rare game. They threw eyes on things, and those things swore.
Yeah, it's super edgy.
You know, there's a theory out there that there's someone in the hat. You know, like some creature is living in the hat.
It's a rabbit.
The hat. I think no, it's not a rabbit.
What, like some sort of like hat?
It's Waluigi.
It's Waluigi. No, we're not talking. We are not talking about Waluigi. We're not talking about Waluigi. All right, Carmine. The next thing that Nintendo likes to show.
I think we find out what's in
the next thing that Nintendo likes to show. Is traditionally new amiibo.
Yeah.
Especially
when they're
edgy. New amiibo? Yeah. Edgy new amiibo.
And especially when they're edgy, especially when, you know, there's corporations out there that think, hey, you know what? We've got to, like, spice things up and we've got to make, characters do what we don't expect them to do and use hashtag no filter, hashtag sassy, you know. Ooh. Just like the amiibo for Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, you know, and there have been rumors out there. More than speculation. I think people are saying that they've got leaks. So I think there's fire where that smoke is. Because Leaks?
Who has leaks?
I don't know. Someone. Internet crazies.
Yeah, some I thought I read weird
something.
Website.
Oh, wait. Comic book something something. I forget. Yeah. Let me look it up. Because I know that they were also around the whole time of Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I think they were one of the outlets teasing that they had some exclusive information. And I think one of the things that they did have, they went into detail that I think one of the details they did have is that they claimed that they were going to be Amiibo too.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. Nintendo World Report had some leaks too, some images.
yeah. So I think that was fun. I remember the craziness in staff chat at the time. Because if we weren't the first ones to like talk about the game and say, hey, it's happening. I mean, everyone had like, all the traditional leakers had like, talked about it. Emily Rogers had been talking about it.
Yeah.
Or was it Laura Kate Dale who did it first?
And, she did it first.
With leaks, there's always stuff like, it's happening, it's not happening, it didn't happen now, so it must be fake. Or it's, you know, there's always an amount of, this is never 100%, but it was definitely out there. And then finally, some dam started breaking. Somebody posted one image. We posted other images. And then now it looks like there was even some more information out there that some people are saying. But that's the thing. You never know who has, if what part here is true. I think there is fire where there is smoke here. Because I want to buy 4 new Mario Amiibo. Because why not? I already own 1, 2, 3, 4 different Marios. What's another fifth one?
You casual.
And I also want to buy, like, a Tough Guy Rabbids Amiibo and a Rabbids Peach one, like...
Yeah, know? With the that's, phone
that's
taking a selfie.
That's another 8 Amiibo. That is another 8 Amiibo. And, and I think it's Ubisoft. It's about time they got in on that Amiibo game, like Activision did. They dipped their toes in. Shovel Knight got a third-party Amiibo, so it's not unprecedented. And I think 8 is a good number for an Amiibo wave.
Right.
And it really fits with our theme, because is there anything edgier than giving a beloved childhood hero a gun?
People say guns. These are more like ray guns. They're like the toys you buy for like 5-year-olds at a dollar store, you know? Dude. It lights up and stuff.
Mario is going to be...
It doesn't shoot bullets. No, it shoots like... I don't know what it shoots, but I'm imagining it in my head.
Edge.
It's shooting like these round purple rings. So it's not even a laser. It's more like the stun blast from Episode 4, A New Hope. So, yeah. Stop calling them guns, guys. They're on stun, okay?
No, Yoshi is totally going to blow the head off of some rabbits
in this
game.
Yoshi looks mean. The pictures that are out there now, the pictures that NWR posted, like, you can look in there, and everyone's got, like, a different gun, and Yoshi's got a pretty interesting one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we're getting rabbits... Mario plus Rabbids Amiibo, and I assume
and I,
that
for one, will
this is
order all of them. Twice.
Yeah, I assume this is also when they're talking about that game as well. It'd be weird for them to talk about Amiibo without having actually.
I think it
officially
could make a great transition. It's like you open with Mario Odyssey, then you start showing Mario characters, and then someone crashes the party, and that's
It's right after the reveal that a rabbit is what is in Mario's hat in Mario Odyssey.
No.
All right, so Adam.
One crossover at a time.
Adam, typically what they've done in the past is they've announced some kind of new feature that is coming to their hardware after they've talked about Amiibo and had a game announcement. So, what new hardware feature? It can be some kind of software, like some kind of streaming thing or whatever. But what new hardware feature is Switch getting? It's missing a lot right now.
Well, it's certainly missing this feature, and this happens to be the worst solution I've ever thought of.
Great.
All right, so
I love your intros.
Play along with me. Grab your right Joy-Con and just slide that right off. But set it aside, because you're going to need it in a second. Then, take Nintendo's newest piece of hardware and slide it onto the right side of the Switch. Now, put back your right Joy-Con on this new piece of hardware's right side. Yeah, that's right. It extends it and makes your Switch look really stupid, but it gives it voice chat.
Oh my gosh. This is like the Circle Pad Pro for
But 3DS. Worse, because this is like a really shitty like iPod Touch, where the only app on it, like it has its own screen, and the only app on it is the Nintendo chat app.
And that's, I can see it now. It. Oh, it's a thing of beauty.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, just look at the edges.
People have already started.
12 edges.
People have already started
yeah.
The thumbs down on YouTube. It's already happening. We've already got like 2,000. Okay, well, then.
People wanted voice chat in the Switch without their mobile phone. This is like the wireless adapter for the Nintendo DS. That you could, the USB stick, you plugged it into your PC, and, you know, and then you got your wireless connection, because not everyone had Wi-Fi back in those days. Or it was tough to get to a McDonald's or stuff like that. And I had two of those. So I might have two of these when they come out.
One on each side?
Dude, stereo.
Adam, I feel like you're really stereo abusing the fact that we can't tell you no.
Well, I only thought about the first one, and then last second I changed it.
I did not throw that in. I'm just agreeing. I'm obeying the rules by agreeing with you guys. Okay.
You could have said, "Oh, Switch is finally getting like video streaming apps like Netflix and Hulu," or you could have said like, "I don't know."
I thought about that, but I don't think those are coming before we get some stupid hardware hack.
Yeah, you know the sad thing is that you're probably right.
I don't think we'll get anything that extreme, like, for reals, but in this universe, God, that's what
gonna
we're doing.
Be really, you know, pissed off if they can't sell their.
Oh, no. It's not first party. It's third party.
All good.
Phone that you slide into.
It's a third party solution, which brings me to my next prediction. And I'm just going to tag along to Adam and say that this is when they talk about Splatoon 2. Because that's going to be the first game that's going to really take advantage of the communication features that this weird add-on to your Switch.
Oh my god. I mean, will they even have the app ready?
So Splatoon 2, you're going to be able to play the Salmon Run mode offline, which is going to require a lot of communication and online and offline. But when you play online, it's going to require a lot of communication with your friends. So you are going to need this little piece of hardware that Adam has introduced to the world to do that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're even talking about that stupid thing. So yeah.
Did I mention that it plays MP3s?
Great, great.
But you have to buy them from Nintendo, and they only have
songs. You can listen to the ARMS theme song while you play Splatoon 2 with your friends. So.
Excited.
This,
we miss you, so.
There's going to be a bundle. A new Nintendo Switch bundle that will include, a Switch?
No, oh my god, no.
No. Forget I said
take
that.
Take it back.
I'm sorry. God, I hate their name conventions. No, there's going to be a bundle that comes with a Switch that has the green and pink Joy-Con that will be the Splatoon 2 Joy-Con. It's going to come with a digital copy of Splatoon 2, and it is going to come with the attachment that comes with the app that Adam introduced. It's going to retail for $350 American dollars. $349.99 US dollars.
But the catch is that you have to import it from Japan, and it already sold out like 2 months ago.
No, that's, why would we say that? Why would All right, no, you introduced it. That's what's going to happen. We're just going to trot it out, and then we're going to say, by the way, you can't get this.
Reggie out there. The special partnership with Amazon Japan. We sold all of these months.
There's another 3,000 dislikes on YouTube. Really, we're just trying to break the Metroid Prime Federation Force record. of dislikes on YouTube.
And is there anything edgier than getting disliked on YouTube? I guess not.
All right, Carmine, you are up. Tell us, so we've announced, we've shown Splatoon 2. What's the next game they feature?
Well, I think we've shown some great stuff so far. We have to sell games, you know. We have to get back to the basics. We have to sell stuff that's coming out right now. So we're just going to go back to ARMS. You know, they've had this. You've had Mario. You've had Splatoon 2. Those are great. Those aren't coming out like within days. You know, let's get back to ARMS. We're going to have a tournament, but we need to talk about it a little bit. We need to maybe go into some of that DLC. That's going to be great. They're going to tease maybe some fighters, maybe some stages. Maybe they'll give us a schedule, you know? Something to really say, hey, you know, put down that money at launch. We'll make it worth your while.
Something we haven't seen yet about ARMS.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen a lot. Yeah. So I don't think they need to show us everything, but they need to start saying, hey, this is an idea of how it will evolve over the next 6 months. Because we're definitely going to talk about the competition now. Maybe they'll talk about something they're planning later. Maybe they'll talk about like another competition down the line. Online. Maybe they'll do live events for ARMS, sort of like another, like while the game is live, weekends where there's extra stuff going on. I don't know.
Sure.
It would be nice to have like a schedule of DLC. So it'll be like, oh yeah, I'll pay for ARMS now, and in 2 months I'll get that first DLC. In another 3 months, you know, 2 months after that, maybe we'll get the new character sort of thing.
Yeah, they could even show like a trailer for one of the new characters or something.
Yeah, maybe they don't have that yet, but they should at least let us think about the first 6 months of purchase, the first 9 months after purchase.
Sure.
Because if it's something they want to keep going a long time, they have to sort of have a plan in place.
All right.
Yep.
So we're getting our ones that we already know out of the way. Adam, you're up next. What are they going to show us?
Our next one surprises no one.
Great.
But maybe Nintendo it surprises everyone.
Nintendo, people are only surprised by how surprised Nintendo expects us to be. Because they announce a game called Pokemon Stars.
Yes!
Which is just a port of Pokemon Sun and Moon. It's still in 240p or whatever it was on the 3DS. Just stretched out.
Come on. Yes! I'll take it!
No added story. They take away like 12 Pokemon, so you have to trade with Pokemon Bank.
Oh man! Oh god!
Adam,
I might God, still take it.
If we play this game again, I'm not putting the rule in where we can say no. Where we can't say no.
Where we can't
say no. Why? Do you want to change
it? Well, I'm happy Pokemon Stars made it, but come on.
No,
me to use Pokemon Bank.
Okay,
I've never used Pokemon Bank.
Not only that, but it's on Switch.
Well, you will now.
It should look better. It should be the definitive edition. It shouldn't just be the 3DS screen stretched across the Switch.
Why not like Dragon Quest
it
9?
Should.
It will have 3DS
That's why...
style visuals. Like Dragon Quest 10 has 11 has both 3DS and a PS4 mode. Stars will have both. You can go back to retro mode.
No.
240p on the Switch, and then you can boot up to like glorious 720p 30 frames per second. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
But to up-res it, you have to buy a box that you plug into your Switch.
No, why do we have to buy... Okay.
Wait,
no,
what?
I can't say no. I can't
you
say
mean
no.
SCD?
Because you... Carmine introduced something, I had to introduce something back because I
thought... Oh my gosh.
This isn't a fight. Come on.
Okay, but in Pokemon Stars, they didn't add any new story stuff or any new areas or anything of note. But what they did add in... are the four worst motion control mini games.
Whoa, that's
imagine.
I can dig.
Why?
I can dig.
They're awful.
This has happened before.
You know, after a few hours, you realize that Poke Park was one of the better games on Wii. But after seconds of Pokemon Stars, you will realize that these mini games were made by an intern very quickly before the E3 presentation.
This is so bad.
No, this is totally realistic. Matt, this happens a lot of times, right? Like, you get a game series. There's some mini games in, like, this Nintendo game, and you play them, and you're like, man, these are the games that didn't qualify for Mario Party, like, 10 or something.
So, like, when the president of the Pokemon company comes out, and he's like, Switch is going to change the way Pokemon games are made forever. This is what it is.
I don't know if you remember the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire launch trailer. But it was just a child in the woods.
It was part of the E3 2014 direct.
Yeah, it was just... yeah, it was a child out in the woods. It's going to be like that. They're not going to explain it. There's going to be a child out on some island with a Nintendo Switch. So all the details that I gave you aren't given in the conference. They're given
as the internet is whipped into a frenzy and searches for all the details, which is sort of like a meta ARG game that we play with Nintendo.
Great.
Right. So we just see a child on an island alone playing Switch. Oh, but he has special edition controllers, which are non-neon red and non-neon blue.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to have so many Switch Joy-Cons by the time this is over.
Oh yeah, they're going to be able to, by the time Switch is done, they're going to be able to bury us in those.
So he's walking around the woods and people are like, what is this? Why is the Asian child from the Pokemon Sun and Moon trailers?
And then I'll be like in the chat going, oh my god, Rhyme 2?
That's not what it is though. Because then he pulls out a Switch, or he finds a Switch out in the island or something really stupid and not thought out. And he picks it up and he's like, whoa. And then like it shows his reaction when he's like, whoa. And then it shows the game and it's just so ugly. And then it comes up, the guy, it's like, da, 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 and the guy is like, Pokemon Stars.
Great.
And then they move on to whatever Matt is about to
talk about. All right, so, on the theme of stars, we've got a big third party coming in to help Nintendo with their presentation.
Is this going to be another horrible one, or is this going
to
be...
No, this is good. Because we have to balance out the awful. Whoever EA's new spokesman is comes out alongside a man that most of us recognize as Oscar Isaac. And Oscar Isaac plays Poe Dameron.
Oh dang!
Star Wars, the new Star Wars trilogy.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
And Poe Dameron pulls out a Nintendo Switch. And begins to play for us Star Wars Rogue Squadron 4.
Yeah!
Rogue Squadron is back. The first mission that we get to see is from a scene that we have not even yet seen before in Star Wars Episode 8. It is Poe Dameron leading his X-Wing fighters I don't even know what they're doing in that movie. I guess save Luke Skywalker or something from the First Order. So you're flying around on this planet, shooting down TIE fighters, killing stormtroopers that are ground units, and it just looks incredibly fun, incredibly good. Whatever you thought the next Rogue Squadron should look like, that's what this game looks like. And Oscar Isaac raises his Switch up in the air when he's finished the level, and he says, Rogue Squadron is back, and it is releasing the same day as Star Wars Episode 8.
Wow. I'm so happy that we finally went for, like, something that's, like, completely positive on our ends instead of, like, oh god, we've been hurt so many times.
Yeah. I don't think that's positive.
What
Matt
do you mean you don't
that
think
I
that's
know
positive?
Star Wars is garbage.
Not the Rogue Squadron games. Come on. This isn't Battle... what is it? What are they now? Battlefront?
Battlefront 2.
Yeah, this isn't Battlefront 2, which they promise will be good, but come on, this is Rogue Squadron, and Oscar Isaacs is up there, and it's a live demo. That's gutsy. I like it. Live demos.
But it's a pre-recorded conference. Do they stop
and
go to live footage?
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I was getting excited there. I was like, this could be risky, because we could risk reliving, like, Warhawk 2006.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So
I mean, obviously
this is the only
live,
third-party
it's a pre-recorded
stuff?
Video.
Okay.
No. All the first party stuff is pre-recorded, but for this one third party thing, they cut.
Yeah, for this one third party thing, they switch over to live footage of EA's playground or whatever the heck they call their thing that's in LA, and Oscar Isaac's there, and he's playing Rogue Squadron 4. It's live footage.
Dang.
It could go so badly, but we're doing it because it's edgy.
Yeah, because we're bringing
it is edgy.
This is live events. You know,
all right, as it happens. So we've
at
got
the end of the presentation.
I'm excited for
he
that.
He goes, Star Wars, Rogue, whatever this game is called. I wasn't listening. and then he says, rated T for teen.
Well, yeah, it should be.
Lasers in space, you know, it's like,
yeah.
how rated M can that be?
He also says, exclusive to Nintendo Switch.
I know it's against the rules. I'm like, how does that happen? That's like a coup if that happens.
Yeah. Well, it was exclusive to GameCube.
Yeah, but
it happens because Matt said so. And those are the rules.
Yeah, those are the rules.
Them's the rules.
If Adam can just randomly introduce attachments.
I don't want to argue. I've just had so many things happen to me. All right,
Carmine, you are up. We need a new game.
New game.
Or a game we haven't shown off yet that we already know about.
Let's go for let's reach back into the past and look at, you know, Nintendo has always been looking for partnerships with indie smaller studios in Japan especially. I think this is about time to pair up with the developers. Who was it? Was it Innes? And bring back the Wind End franchise. Because I think we need more Elite Beat agents in our life. You know? And this is gonna be interesting because because Nintendo's right now there's all this like global launch. So they're gonna release it in Japan, it's gonna be all Japanese themed. They're gonna release it in the US, it's gonna be all US themed, and a bunch of us are gonna buy both versions, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a good prediction. I think
there's plenty of space for this because I guess I've talked about it before. Vos is one of my I love coming back to it and relaxing on the Switch. You know, obviously, you know, the Switch doesn't have a stylus, so the gameplay is going to be changed to be more about to be more suited for the fingers. So it's not as crazy intense as last time. I'm still going to be happy I bought a screen protector. But it's going to really use that screen. It's really going to, like, have all the on-screen elements where you've got all this movement across it. It's just going to have an updated library and all new comics. And, yeah, I think that's going to be a great opportunity for them.
I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
Elite Beat Agents.
Yeah. Dost thou remember the great...
You introduced it by calling it Oendan, which is its Japanese name.
Yeah. Oh my god, I completely forgot. Tatakae? Oendan!
Yeah. In America we called it Elite Beat Agents.
Well, it wasn't the same game. Elite Beat Agents was not the same game because it was the same gameplay, but it had completely new stories, completely new songs. Hmm. So the one thing I'm not sure about, it would be cool if the Japanese version had songs licensed for Japan, the US version had songs licensed for the US, and all we had to do was switch, you know, eShop thing, get that, and we actually got two games out of one because they made a Japan Wendon and a US Elite Beat Agents.
Hmm.
It's a 2-for-1, really.
I should have known that they were different in terms of content, but I didn't really know much about the music licensing.
You're gonna have to like license that music for the world.
Yeah.
So it might be something like that. That might be a reason that again we get regional variations off what is essentially like the same game framework. Engine.
Yeah. That would be really cool. I would be definitely okay with that. Especially coming right after, like, Rogue Squadron being revived, having Elite Beat Agents be revived too would be awesome. Okay. Adam, this is your final announcement. It's a game. What game are you announcing?
I feel like I've been waiting to announce this game.
Oh no. Every time you start talking, I get so scared.
At least half a decade. This game. All right. You know, looking back throughout the history of storytelling, telling stories in threes is very popular. You know, the trilogy is sort of an eternal storytelling format.
Okay.
And sometimes we don't get to finish our trilogies. But that day is not today. Today we're finishing a trilogy. Of the first game, Neil Ranahan said, way too often, the game is more frustrating than it is fun. Of the second game, Alex Kulafi said, it is not a bad game, and is technically solid in most respects, but what could have been an incredible bookend to the Wii library is now a beacon of missed potential.
Oh no.
That potential will no longer be missed, for we shall all see it on our Switch in Epic Mickey 3.
Oh my god.
The Power of 3.
How would they make that? Because, like, the studio doesn't exist anymore.
Nope, we can't say money. No. We can't say no.
I know, I'm just asking. Who is making this?
See, Nintendo takes the billions of dollars that they made by publishing Epic Mickey in Japan, and they fund Epic Mickey 3. And it is excellent. Well, it's exactly
epic.
Like the
it
first
epic.
Two. It's epic, for sure.
How is it edgy?
See, it's like, it's... Have you ever played Epic Mickey?
Well, yeah, but how is this one edgier? We gotta go edgier.
How is this one edgier? Okay, well, remember in the first one he had the paint and the thinner, and he was edgy? And then in the second one, he had the paint and the thinner, and he had an edgy bunny sidekick who had, like, a taser or something?
Oh my god, I now realize where Raving Rabbids came from. I mean, the Mario Plus Rabbids thing.
Well, in the third one, he has another sidekick.
Great.
A forgotten sidekick. So forgotten, you wouldn't even know his name if I said it. So forgotten that I can't even think of
I was about to ask
a name for him. But he's so forgotten and so edgy.
That's the thing. That's the thing. They're not announcing it.
He just has guns.
Mickey Mouse has guns.
They show all the footage with him cut out.
Oh, the third...
Not Mickey Mouse. The Player 3 has guns.
Is the Player 3 a character you can create yourself, like in Sonic?
Yes, you create him yourself. It's actually the same. It's the Sonic character creator.
It's like Skylanders Imaginators.
They just ripped the character creator.
I didn't want to spoil it, but it's Shadow the Hedgehog is the third character. Nintendo, he is a forgotten character.
Nintendo just double down on the crazy rabbits.
Rights to Shadow the Hedgehog.
They do because Sega's making this game.
Great.
So you know that you won't fall through. You won't fall through the floor, and the paint mechanic will work really, really well.
Great.
Yeah.
This that's
You never fail to deliver.
This one, like the second one, is a musical.
Oh, I dig.
I can't wait to hear Shadow the Hedgehog sing
his edgy songs.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as the guy from like Mickey Mouse.
Dark and brooding songs about chaos control. Okay,
that's it.
So on the tail of Epic Mickey, I have to announce this game. This is the game that I want the most. Shigeru Miyamoto finally shows his face, and climbing out of his pocket is a Pikmin. Pikmin 4. I think there was one point where it was rumored to be called Pikmin World or something like that, and that it was going to be kind of like a reboot in a way of the series. So I'm going to go
edgy reboot.
Oh yeah, edgy, way edgy. So I'm going to go with that. This time, you're playing as Olimar again. It's kind of like a reboot of the very first Pikmin's story, where, he crash lands on the planet. He's only got so much time to rebuild his ship. And you find the Pikmin, although this time it's going to be different because all of the Pikmin types are going to be included, including, oh man, what's some kind of edgy Pikmin we can add?
The dark Pikmin?
Yeah.
Ghost Pikmin.
Well,
Shadow Pikmin.
Yeah, when Shadow they, when Pikmin.
They have to stay in shadow because they burst into flames in the light.
Yeah, and they have guns.
Can they at least have like ray guns or like spectral projectile stuff?
They shoot seeds.
Seeds, okay.
We'll say that they just shoot seeds out of their mouths because I don't know where they get guns from. They're like plants or whatever.
They grow them in the ground because is there anything edgier than growing your own guns?
You find them, bomb rocks.
These are organic guns.
Yeah, okay.
These are artisanal, local, organic weaponry.
Yeah, so...
You see, they find them because Pikmin, the series, takes place on, like, post-apocalyptic Earth. That's why there's, like, batteries and stuff.
Yeah.
So
they find really tiny guns?
No, they have the giant guns. They have full-size guns.
Oh, that take like 100 Pikmin to carry and like 20 Pikmin to pull the trigger.
So, exactly. So like, dude. Instead, this time, because it's called Pikmin World, it's going to be an open world game. And there's going to be...
Open air? Open world? Important distinction.
Open world. You're not going to be able to like hang glide. Because it's still traditional Pikmin. No, never mind, you can. The flying Pikmin will pick you up.
The flying ones can, but...
Yeah, you can glide over short distances. Not essential. This is an open-air Pikmin game, in which, like, you've got, instead of, like, 30 pieces of your ship, you literally have to, like, rebuild it completely from scratch. And so there, like Breath of the Wild, there are 120 ship parts that you have to find, just like there are 120 shrines. And you've got to use the different abilities of your, like, 7 or 8 different types of Pikmin to find these. Before your 30-day time limit is up, or else you die. Now,
how big is this game?
It's a very big game. It is the biggest game Nintendo has ever made.
Breath of the Wild, but with Pikmin?
It's bigger than Zelda, Breath of the Wild, it's bigger than Skyrim, it's bigger than whatever else huge game you want to throw out there, Horizon or whatever. Wow. Bigger than all
Listeners
those.
Listeners of the show will recall that Breath of the Wild was bigger than the county I live in. So, that's a really big Pikmin game. Are you talking about in relation to, like, people size? And they're still tiny? Or in relation to their size?
Oh, people size. So this is, like, basically the size of, like, a regular person's sandbox. Because it's a sandbox game.
Oh, okay. So it's not, like... the size of the new Zelda, but also you're like way tinier than Link?
No, it's the size of the new Zelda, but from Olimar's perspective. So it's his version of the size of Breath of the Wild.
Dude, that's epic. Now all of a sudden, oh my god. I kept on expecting you to say something like Pikmin Wars or like Pikmin Warriors or something. I don't know.
We got an open world Pikmin game with Shadow Pikmin.
Yeah, but awesome. Do you know about the DLC? The DLC is edgy. What are you doing? It's so edgy.
Adam, called... stop. No, Adam, stop.
Pikmin 4.
You already put in the gun.
Stop.
Pikmin...
The DLC exists now, though, so we have to go with it. What's the DLC?
Pikmin World War P.
Oh my god.
And you are Lil Olimar on a battlefield long after the battle has ended. And you'd better believe it is edgy. There's like skeletons and blood and all sorts of stuff.
The battle against who?
Against the Bulbos?
Against the survivors.
The survivors of what?
What, do you mean the giant hairless apes?
No, the other Pikmin troops.
Oh, what?
Yeah, there are other little tiny creatures that control the Pikmin, and you are at war with them.
No, hang on. This is where the Shadow Pikmin come in. The only way a Shadow Pikmin can be born is it's the soul of a Pikmin that you've lost.
Ooh. That's edgy.
And instead of going up in the air at night, you have to survive on the planet at night, because you're building your ship from scratch. And the souls of your dead Pikmin come out of the ground at night.
That's a great idea. Oh my god, that's your army at night, because the regular ones don't operate at night. But then all the, oh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. That's dark, man.
So there you go. There's Pikmin World.
Boom.
Carmine, what's our one last thing? Reggie comes out and he says, thanks for watching this presentation. We hope that you'll enjoy all of what Nintendo has to offer, but we have one more thing. What's that one more thing?
Do I go cynical or do I go hopeful?
Keep it edgy.
Edgy.
Keep it grit, man.
Edgy. Well, okay, edgy. So, there's nothing edgier than a cult classic. There's nothing edgier than something that was a commercial failure, but beloved by the people, and stuff that just everything is fighting against to have it made, and yet people believe, you know, because some of us, we still wear brown coats, so belief can affect a change in the world, and that change, that one last thing, is Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Nice.
That is the change we want to see, and that is what we're going to get, one last thing. We're gonna go to a trailer. It's not gonna have any lead in, you know, not any explanation. Just go to that. It's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be Michael Ansel. It's gonna be Ubisoft. It's gonna be what we want, and it's not gonna come out soon, but it's gonna give us something to think about.
Awesome. I'm super down for that.
People are down for it, even though they haven't played. A lot of us haven't played the first one. And
hang on,
I tried playing the first one. I didn't get that far into it. I have to replay it.
Is this a straight-up sequel, or is this the rumored reboot of the first one?
Oh. I think it's a reboot.
Okay.
Reboots are, if you do a sequel, you've got all that baggage. A reboot allows you much more creative, you know, license. You can just go back, change things up. If it doesn't work, just change it.
Sure.
You don't want to get stuck with that baggage. You dispense with the old, you move forward. Beyond Good and Evil, subtitle, undecided.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is our connectivity.
But wait.
So what did we put together? What sort of chimera monster?
First, in Beyond Good and Evil,
oh, no.
That's the camera game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not anymore, because now you got guns.
Oh, no, don't do it.
Stop. No, it's over. It's over. You can't break
it's
it
over.
Anymore.
Yeah. Come on, so, that goes against the whole thing. We're not going to do to Jade what they did to Joanna Dark, okay?
Mm. Yeah, so we're going to do...
We gave her highlights in
before
her
we go,
hair.
I just want to point out...
That was...
I just want to point out...
That was not good.
We did not talk about Xenoblade 2, nor did we talk about either of the Fire Emblem games that have already been announced. I think maybe that's something we can show off at, like, Treehouse, or maybe we can just say... Hey, they're further behind schedule. They're coming in 2018. We're just not ready to talk about them yet.
No, they need redone from the ground up. They are not edgy enough.
No. Fire Emblem, you take to Treehouse, because, like, this stuff, we're going to show it at this show. But don't worry, the slow burn Fire Emblem is cool. Xenoblade 2, you hit up with a direct later on, you know?
Sure.
Because Xenoblade 2, we can push it big. Let's give it its space.
Oh, we also didn't talk about Retro's, whatever Retro's working on, and we did not mention Metroid, so we do not think that a Metroid game is coming this E3.
Well, I only had, like, one game trailer to do, you know?
Metroid fans gotta wait at least one more year. Sad.
Not edgy enough.
Yeah, not edgy enough. Metroid's our edgiest franchise, what are we doing?
They're rebooting... So many games, but with guns. I think that's
Metroid
true.
Already has
the
guns.
The Pikmin, like, Battlefield is much edgier than Metroid. With the
Pikmin,
skulls and the blood.
A post-apoc Pikmin, like, battle... Yeah.
The zombie Pikmin.
Somewhat scary. Yeah. It's like, dang, this is dark for Pikmin. Pikmin's always been about, like, nature and stuff, and now you're putting us on a battlefield, and we've got the dead souls of our soldiers.
Yeah.
About Pikmin soldiers.
It's a brand new world of Pikmin.
What did we create from beginning to end? What did this look
so
like?
So, we started off, Adam gave us our aesthetic of the dark and gritty Waru Waru Plaza. And then we launched into a trailer of Super Mario Odyssey with a cursing hat. Carmine, what was the first game? Oh, yeah, you talked about Mario and Rabbids Amiibo.
Yeah.
Adam.
Which that's our theory on how they announced the game. They don't talk about the game at all.
They just segue like,
hey,
into...
buy these Amiibo.
Hey, the game's already been leaked.
Wait, Ubisoft has already had their presser by then.
Yeah, so they could have announced it there. They could.
Yeah, so well, it's a good segue into, nice. Like, why are we bringing this up again? Because...
Yes. You know, this is a really good segue into what I want to do next. I think we should build Ubisoft's press conference play.
Oh my gosh. Maybe next time, after it's already happened.
Okay. Mario plus Rabbids and Amiibo.
Incoming
Switch feature was the attachable
phone MP3 player voice chat
sub-phone
thing.
That's gonna
chat
be,
accessory.
It's going to come in a new Splatoon bundle.
That you can put on both the right and the left.
Yeah, Splatoon 2 is going to use it a lot somehow. And there's a new bundle with new Joy-Con and whatnot. And then, Carmine, what did you announce after Splatoon 2?
When then?
2? Oh, yeah.
With possible,
no, no,
like...
No, different... that was later. That was after Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars came next?
Yeah, I can't remember.
No.
What was the first game you announced?
No, after... Wait, Switch? No. When then? That was it. I only got to announce one game, guys. I got Amiibo, I got Last Thing, and I got a single game.
Okay.
So, when then, which had, like, possibly we could get two versions, one for the Japanese market, one for here, which is awesome because we can just download them anyway.
I don't remember the order that it all came in, but we were getting a new Star Wars game, we're getting Epic Mickey 3.
Whoa, you don't remember? Next was Pokemon Stars, the most disappointing game for the conference.
Yeah, that's right.
No!
Then it was Star Wars, I think.
Yeah.
Then it was Elite Beat Agents. Then it was
No, Elite Beat Agents.
No.
Oh wait, maybe it was then. No, I was done already by then.
No, Carmine, you had two games.
Did I?
Oh my gosh.
What is the other game?
Alright, that's our show. thanks guys for coming on. Thanks for building E3 with me. I hope everybody enjoyed it. If you like the monster of an E3 that we have built, this dark and edgy,
this reboot, Frankenstein
and you like,
monster, this chimera.
If you like, other things that Nintendo World Report does, we have a Patreon, where you can, go by, throw some money our way, and we will keep, chugging on and creating things like this. We also have a Patreon exclusive podcast, that some of us are sometimes on. There's a rotating cast.
I've
that,
been on it. I know I'm everyone's favorite.
I've
got fan mail. Do you guys have access to the email?
I'll shoot you some
fan mail.
I'll shoot you some fan mail.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. And guys, thanks for joining me.
I am looking forward to E3.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I hope you hated it, because there's nothing edgier than ruining your E3.
all right. Thanks for listening.